Good evening. How is everybody? Doing good? Don't forget, we have our retreat coming up next month. Pick up a flyer, check out at the table, and you can register online, and it's always nice. It's at the church, and it's always nice time to get away from the dailiness of life and spend some time with the Lord. Our theme is seasons, and as women, we go through so many different seasons. I mean, everybody goes through seasons, but I think women really go, because you can go through 14 in a day, just in and out. So it'll be a great time. So please pray about joining us for that. So tonight, if you would open your Bibles to, let me find the right scripture, Proverbs 9, verse 10. I have been very, very blessed all my life because I have a mom who has loved me unconditionally for over 54 years. And I have never, ever doubted her love. And I know a lot of people can't say that. And it is a wonderful way to grow up. And as a little girl, I loved my mommy so much. I just wanted to sit on her lap. I wanted to hold her hand. I wanted to be with her. And she was the one that would comfort me and stroke me and hug me. She took care of me. She was and still is a very, very good mommy. I remember she would wash my hair. She wouldn't do what other mommies did and pour the cup over the head and let it run down my face. Not my face. Not a drop of water got on it. I would lay on the counter and she would wash my hair. This is why I've got problems. Okay. And she would and back then we didn't have conditioner, you know. They just came out with cream rinse. And I had just 5 million knots in my hair. And she would just comb my hair out. And then sometimes I got to get stuck under that big dryer. Remember that? Or the one with the cap and then you could walk around with it. You know. And because the way my hair grows in the front, and I had bangs at that time, they would stick out. So she would scotch tape them. So I get my hair washed, and they'd be scotch taped till they dried, because we didn't have a hair, you know, blower. Anyway, she was just a wonderful mommy. She would fight for me, and she did a few times. Whether it be a teacher or another child, she would stick up for me, and she thought I was the most beautiful thing ever, even when I went through the phase in eighth grade of wearing the blue eyeshadow up to here. She just always has done that, and she thinks I'm beautiful no matter what, except for now she does tell me to put on a little lipstick because your lips fade when you get older. But because she was such a good mommy, I wanted to please her. You respond to love. Don't we respond to love? And I responded to that love. And I just wanted to please her and to make her happy. I did not want to make her sad or mad. Very rarely ever saw her get mad. She never raised her voice. But I didn't want to hurt her feelings. And so if I was ever tempted to be naughty, to do something wrong, it would automatically, I would just think, oh, that would hurt my mommy's feelings, so I don't want to do that. Now, before you think that I was just this perfect, wonderful little girl, and perhaps I was when I was little, but you had to grow up. And when you hit that junior high age, at least for me, I pushed my limits, and I didn't want to hurt her feelings, so you just simply sneak so she wouldn't find out. So I wasn't perfect then. Never was. But when I met Jesus, and he completely changed my life, and I learned of his love for me, and early on, I began learning about the fear of the Lord It made perfect sense to me. I didn't struggle with what does that mean, fear, why would you be afraid of God? I understood it meant, oh, he loves me so much. I want to please him, and I would have a fear of displeasing him. I don't want to do anything that would hurt his heart. And so it was a good lesson, and I'm still growing in that. But it was something that not everyone understands immediately, because perhaps you were like one of my friends who in her house, she had a fear of her mom, but it wasn't a fear of making her mom sad. It was a fear of, I'm going to get backhanded. And I remember being with her in her house and something going on and her mom starting to raise her voice. And my friend she's just blinking. I mean, if you even just kind of went like that to her, she would blink because she thought she was going to get backhanded. And so a lot of Christians, we think, oh, that's the fear of the Lord. I am terrified of him. I don't want to do anything wrong because he's going to smack me. But that's a wrong concept of the fear of the Lord. It is a fear of displeasing him because of his great love for me, his great love for you, and the giving of his son to die the death that we should have had, and his thoughts toward us are good only. And so, like a little girl trying to please her mommy and make her mommy happy and not want to make her sad, that should be our relationship with the Lord. 33 years ago in February, just a couple of weeks ago, is when I gave my life to the Lord. And you know, that's a long time to walk with him and to know him and to have relationship with him and commune with him and to serve him. And sometimes, because you don't even think you're 33 years old, how could you have walked with him for 33 years old? You know, I understand that as you get older, you think you're younger than you are. I never understood it when I was younger. I thought, how can they think they're not old? Look at them. I understand it now. But recently, I have kind of been in a reassessment mode in my walk with the Lord, and I've done that from time to time, but for some reason I'm there again. I mentioned, I don't know if it was last month or the month before, not that you remember anything, I barely remember anything that I said, but I had mentioned that I was rereading some of those books that I read early on as a Christian, The Calvary Road, True Discipleship, and things like that, kind of taking my spiritual temperature, seeing where I am, how far along I am, or have I slipped in a certain area or whatever. And one of those areas that I've kind of had resurface is the fear of the Lord. And early on in my walk, this topic was, it was very important, it still is important, very important to me. It kept me in the right place that I was supposed to be with the Lord. It's the title of tonight, I just called it Holy Fear. And it is the fear that keeps me holy. It is the fear of the Lord that keeps me walking and living a holy life. And I've asked the Lord to search my heart to see kind of where I am. Am I still growing in the fear of the Lord? Am I still conscious of the fear of the Lord? Or have I kind of slipped back? And so tonight I just kind of want to dig in a little bit and talk about the fear of the Lord, what it is, so that we can all learn and grow, be reminded, stirred up. So Proverbs 9, verse 10, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." We need to know and to acknowledge and to believe and to live like our God is a holy God. Now, I know your last lesson in your home groups was on his holiness. Wow, what a topic, a big topic. But God is a holy God, and God is to be feared because he is a holy God. It's always been interesting to me that in the book of Revelation, where it speaks about the four living creatures who are around the throne of God, they do not rest day or night, and they cry out, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." God is worthy. And other places, they ascribe worth to him, but it's very interesting that they don't see saying worthy, 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 but they don't see saying holy, holy, holy. It's reverence. That's the fear of the Lord. And when we truly know God's holiness, oh, that puts us right into that place of the fear of the Lord. We understand that. And because he is holy, that is reason enough to fear him. Psalm 33, 8 and 9 says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." I love that verse. It just says it. The whole earth, everyone should fear the Lord. Why? Because he spoke and it was done. He spoke the world into existence. That's a holy God. That's a powerful God. He commanded and it remained. He holds everything together. In him, all things consist. All things are held together. Who else can do that? No one else can do that. This is God. This is our holy God, our creator. So shouldn't the whole earth fear the one who can do that? I mean, every minute and every breath we take, we should bow in awe, in reverence to our holy God. But the earth does not. Sometimes Christians do not. David wrote in Psalm 34:11, "Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord," which says we need to learn the fear of the Lord. What should be just a natural response isn't. And we need to learn to fear the Lord. It's when pride gets in the way, whether it's the world or us. When we don't fear the Lord, when we're not walking in the fear of the Lord, pride, because we're lifting ourselves above. There are over 100 references in the Bible speaking of the fear of the Lord or the fear of God, which means it's pretty important to him that we understand and we learn the fear of the Lord. Deuteronomy 10:12 says, "What does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God." Requirement to fear the Lord your God. Psalm 89:7, "God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be held in reverence by all those around him." So that word fear means extreme reverence or awe. That word awesome is just, it's really sad because it's been ruined, because you can have an awesome hamburger or an awesome whatever, and God is the only awesome one. To fear him is extreme reverence and awe, and the word awe is a mixed feeling of reverence, fear, and wonder. It's the, you know, you just stand there with your mouth open. You just, I can't believe it, who you are. I mean, just his holiness. Remember when Moses had the burning bush and God said, "Hey, this is holy ground. Take off your shoes." Ooh, awe and wonder. Reverence is a feeling or attitude of deep respect mingled with love. I love that. So the fear of the Lord is not dread, should not be in our life, shouldn't be dread or fear of harm. I better do what I'm supposed to do or the Lord is going to get me. Though to those who don't know the Lord, don't obey the Lord, they ought to have fear and dread in their lives. But the fear of the Lord is a heart that desires to please Him. It is a fear of displeasing Him. I don't want to hurt His heart, His Father's heart toward me, His loving, gracious, merciful, long-suffering, forgiving heart toward me. The fear of the Lord is an attitude of the heart that we need to have toward the Lord because of who He is. Remember, He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it remained. And all because of what He has done. And He's given us life. He's given us salvation. The list goes on and on and on of all that He has done for us. It is based on love, that loving relationship with the Lord. That when I get near Him, I'm not batting my eyes and kind of, you know, waiting for the backhand. I just run up and sit on His lap, and He's welcoming me. To fear the Lord without loving Him or knowing that He loves you, then that's kind of the wrong kind of fear. That's the dread. So the fear of the Lord is a mindset. It's a filter to pass things through. It's living in the awareness of the presence of the Holy God. I mean, He's there. He's holy. This is wherever we go, He is with us, and it's holy ground. And it's that awareness of that. And it's that old, what would the Lord think of this? How does that please my Father's heart or hurt my Father's heart if I say this thing, if I do this thing, if I go to this place, if I don't do this thing, you know, all of that, to run it through that filter and that question of, Lord, what do You think? What do You want? And I like what one person said, sometimes even where the law is silent, my heart tells me God would be grieved if I carry out an activity I'm considering. And that is so true. Don't you feel that? Haven't you experienced that? Where Damian's been talking about liberties the last several weeks on Sunday mornings, but there are times where, I mean, you have perfect liberty to do something, and you take that step to go do that, and yet you have this sense that you're going to grieve the Holy Spirit if you continue on with that. If we continue on with that, and again, we have the liberty to do that, then I've hurt His heart. But when I stop, that's the fear of the Lord. That's saying, this is not important. You are important, Lord. I don't want to grieve You. I want to please Your heart. And may we have that mindset. We've got to get it in there, and it's got to stick. It's got to stick every single day to be aware, to be conscious of living that way. Proverbs 8:13 tells us that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. To hate evil. Now, a lot of times we hear that and we say, well, yes, of course, I hate evil. I hate all of the wickedness out there and what these people are doing to other people and the decisions that are being made and, you know, all of that kind of a thing. And yes, it is to hate evil in that way. But it is also to hate the evil that might come from my own heart. It's to have God's attitude toward sin, whether it is the outside sin or it's the sin in my own life or heart. Someone who knows the Lord, who continues on in sin, obviously, I mean, whether it's me or you, obviously, we have turned off that voice. We've turned off the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and we don't care. We don't care if it hurts You, Lord. Not at all. Why? Because you would stop if you did. Now, and I know you could argue that, and you can go ahead and argue that with the Lord, because, well, yes, I do care. I can't help it. I don't know. I just know in my own life, you know, there's a rebel in here. There is a rebel. And she sometimes likes to say whatever she likes to say, and she'll just deal with consequences afterward. Is that the fear of the Lord? Absolutely not. Shame on you, Karen. Shame on you. God does not tolerate sin. He doesn't want to be around sin, and he won't compromise. And we're to have the same heart and the same mind. And again, let's not think about all that out there, although it includes that, but let's think about our own selves, because if we fear the Lord, if we're walking in the fear of the Lord, we're not going to tolerate the sin in our own lives, or we're not going to turn to condone or to turn or to ignore the sin that is around us that we should make a stand against. The fear of the Lord is a deep and abiding sorrow over anything that would grieve him. You just answer this between you and the Lord, and I will do the same. When is the last time I had a deep and abiding sorrow, not condemnation from the devil, but a conviction of the Holy Spirit, that deep and abiding sorrow in my own heart and in my own life because I wasn't walking in the fear of the Lord. I went ahead and did it, said it, didn't do it, whatever it might be. And just a few minutes ago, I said, shame on you, Karen. And we don't hear that phrase anymore. When I was growing up, I heard that phrase, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. In fact, Dorothy said it in The Wizard of Oz, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. We don't hear that anymore because nobody wants to say that to hurt anybody's self-esteem. But shame is a good thing. There should be more feelings of shame because when the Holy Spirit is grieved within us, we should feel that and do something about it to make it right. Again, I'm not talking about condemnation. I'm talking about that conviction and that shame. It's like, I should not have said that. I can't. It just makes you want to cry that you said it, that you did it, and you go and you make it right and you confess it before the Lord, and then you begin to walk in the fear of the Lord. We live in a world like the time of the judges where everyone did what was right in their own eyes, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. You know that. You live here too. And tolerance is that word that is used all the time. And if you confront sin or say anything about sin, you get criticized over it. Psalm 36:1 says, an oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked. There is no fear of God before his eyes. No fear of the Lord. There's no respect. There's no respect for authority. I mean, we see it. We know it. We cannot change the world, but we sure can take heed and guard that attitude doesn't creep into our own lives to where then we're just ignoring and we're making excuses and we just don't do anything about it. So this topic and this message, it's always a good time for that. Lord, search my heart and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. Open my eyes, show me. Have I slipped? Have I not been walking in the fear of the Lord? You know, I know over the years from time to time I will sit with somebody. I remember a couple in particular, single women who were sexually active and knew that it was wrong, but I mean, that's basically, you know, I mean, what do you do with somebody that just okay, obviously you don't fear the Lord, and disobedience doesn't mean anything, and I can't help you. You're gonna learn the hard way, the real hard way, you know. But we need to learn that fear of the Lord in our own lives and not be like that. Like, oh well. You know, I'm not perfect. I'm doing a lot better than so-and-so. That's not walking in the fear of the Lord. And I'm speaking to myself also in this, because this has been a time of reflection for me and heart searching for me, in that what I found myself, and it's a little true confession here, because this world is so wicked and awful, and it makes me crazy, and I can't do anything about it. I have found that in some areas I am just like, well, whatever they do, that's fine. I'm not going to do it, but that's fine. And that's not for me, because I'm not telling you all the details here, but it's not hating all evil. It is tolerating it in other people's lives, because there's nothing I can do about it. And so, oh well, that's not walking for me. It is not walking in the fear of the Lord. And thank you, Lord, for speaking to me. Proverbs 1:29, because they have hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. And I like that little phrase, they did not choose, which tells me I can choose. I can choose. So if I sit there and I just say, it doesn't matter, no, it should matter. And even if it doesn't feel like it in your heart, we can choose. We can go beyond our feelings and we can just obey. And pretty soon, as we step out in obedience and walk in the fear of the Lord, our heart catches up. Those feelings catch up with us. King Saul in the Old Testament is a really good example of someone who did not fear the Lord. He feared people over the fear of the Lord. He cared more about what people thought than what the Lord thought about him. You know that God had given him a command to utterly wipe out the Amalekites, don't spare anything, and he spared the king, and he spared the good sheep and oxen, and then when he was confronted, he blamed the people. It was because the people, I was afraid of the people. So he placed people in his life above the Lord. And there are some of us that do that. We have a greater fear of people than we do the fear of the Lord. Something's wrong. And the wrong thing is in the heart. There's nothing wrong with God. And yeah, these people can be real trouble. But there's something wrong in here. And we need to get that balanced out. We need to fear the Lord over those people. The fear of man comes back to pride. It's self-preservation. It's me. I'm putting me first because I don't want you to not like me. So I'm going to make you happy, even if it makes the Lord unhappy, because I'm protecting me. And that's all out of whack. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. It's a safe place to trust in the Lord and to fear the Lord and not fear man. The lack of the fear of the Lord and the fear of man in Saul's life removed him from his calling as king, removed the anointing of the Holy Spirit in his life. And that's a good heart check for us, because some of us have a tendency to fear man above fearing the Lord, and we even readily admit it. but do I, does that bring conviction in your heart and a little bit of shame if that is you? And if it does, it's a good thing. That means the Lord is speaking to you, and that means he's going to help you to change the priority there and put him first. Ananias and Sapphira are another example of not fearing the Lord. They put themselves above the Lord in that situation. Remember when they sold, the early church, they were selling their property and they were coming and putting all their money in a pool. And Ananias and Sapphira did that, but they had agreed together, well, we're going to sell it for $10,000, but we're going to tell them we only sold it for $5,000, so we get to keep some $5,000. Now, they could have done that. Nobody was telling them you should give all. It was voluntary, but they wanted to appear better than they were, and they were lying. There was no fear of God in their lives, and that was, it's pride, it's putting myself above, and the lack of fear of the Lord in their life brought forth death. I mean, they both were smitten on the spot, and I'll tell you, it produced fear of the Lord in everybody else's lives, because it said so great fear came upon all the church, and those who heard those things, I would imagine so, that everybody really shaped up. Samson is another example of no fear of God in his life at all. He just did his own thing. He just did whatever he wanted to do. He was called. He was gifted. He was equipped. He was anointed by God to lead God's people. And he just did whatever he wanted to do. He didn't obey the Lord. He had no fear, no reverence, no awe, no realization of God's holiness and who he is. He played around. He played with his calling. He played with his ministry and the gifts that the Lord gave him, thought it was just for him. And so many Christians live that way. God has entrusted them with gifts, with talents, with resources, and with the power of the Holy Spirit, and there's no fear of God, and they just waste their life doing whatever they want to do, and it's all pride. And the lack of fear of the Lord in his life brought disaster, and then ultimately his death. Choosing to fear the Lord, that's the safe place. That's the place we all want to grow in and to walk in on a daily basis. Choosing, learning, growing. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It opens up our understanding, gives us knowledge. I don't know how all that works. I just know the scripture says that, and God honors his word. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A wise man will fear the Lord. By the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil, produces a holy life. The fear that keeps me holy. Yeah, I can do this, but it's going to hurt the heart of the Lord. It's not going to properly represent him. He's a holy God. I want to live a holy life before him and before everyone else. A wise man fears and departs from evil. Joseph is a wonderful example of a man, a young man, who feared the Lord. His relationship with the Lord, his own personal integrity, witness, was more important to him than the passing pleasure of sin for a moment. He would not compromise. He would not sin, given the opportunity. And you know the story. He's a young man, and he's in charge of Potiphar's household, and Potiphar's wife has the hots for him, sends everybody out of the house, has been pestering him day after day after day. Who knows what she was wearing, how she was walking. I mean, you know, women. And so she finally grabs him and says, come lie with me. And he just pulled right out of his clothing, and he said, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" That's the fear of the Lord. He could have said, "Your husband will find out." That would be the fear of man. And that would have been okay to keep him away from sinning. But no, his eyes were on the Lord. He did not want to hurt the heart of the Lord. He saw this seduction as wickedness, as a great sin against the Lord, and he put God first before his own pleasure. I want to walk like that. I really doubt that a Potiphar's, well, not going to be a wife, but a brother is going to come and seduce me. But maybe some other little thing, I mean, whatever it might be, that I would see that. No, I can't do that against the Lord. That would hurt his heart. I don't want to hurt his heart for this little bit of pleasure. Nehemiah is another great example. He was pressured to compromise, to quit the Lord's work, to do things that he shouldn't be doing. He was threatened and he was afraid, but he feared God over man. And the fear of man at that time was there was a threat of physical harm and his reputation was being slandered. And I mean, yes, true fear of man. I am afraid of what you're going to do to me. Oh, but my holy God is bigger and greater, and I care what he thinks. And he was willing to let whatever consequences happen because he didn't go with what they wanted him to do, and let the Lord take care of that. And are we willing, whether it's in a relationship or a circumstance or whatever it might be, are we willing to let that, whatever consequence that we're afraid of is going to happen, because I want to honor the Lord and please the Lord and fear him over man. And Nehemiah did. The fear of the Lord kept both of these men from compromising, from sinning, and from hurting God's heart. And they will always, always be remembered. Every time we read and remember these men, that they stood and walked in godly fear, in awe and in reverence of the Lord. The fear of the Lord will keep us and protect us when we get into difficult situations. It is a promise. And so whatever the outcome, a broken relationship, hurt feelings, whatever it might be, we can stand before the Lord clean and right, and know that we pleased his heart. And in knowing that we pleased his heart is a great blessing to us. I mean, it's just like, you know, when you do something for somebody that you love and you please them and they're happy with you, you get pleasure from that. You get joy from that. Well, we get the same when we know that we've walked in the fear of the Lord and we're pleasing him. I'm going to read you a handful of these fear of the Lord verses that are promises and blessings to us for those who fear the Lord. Psalm 34:7, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers him. I want the angel of the Lord to surround me and protect me, so I want to walk in the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it rests satisfied. He will not be visited by harm. I want that. I want to be satisfied. I want my life to be good, to be blessed. So I want to walk in the fear of the Lord. Psalm 25:12, who is the man that fears the Lord? Him God will instruct in the way that he should choose. Oh, I want instruction from the Lord, and I want to walk in the fear of him. Psalm 25:14, the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. Oh, I want to be a friend of God. I want that kind of companionship, that kind of relationship. So I want to walk in the fear of the Lord. Psalm 33:18, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him and on those who hope in his steadfast love. I want his eye to always be on me, and I want his eye to have that little twinkle and a little wink at me every once in a while because I'm walking in the fear of the Lord. Psalm 34:9, oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no want. I will have no lack if I walk in the fear of the Lord because he is going to take care of my needs. Psalm 103:11, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. Don't you want his steadfast love to be apparent in your life? Walk in the fear of the Lord. You will experience that. Psalm 115:13-14. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. A life of blessing. We walk in the fear of the Lord. We honor him. We know he's a holy God. We reverence him. We realize this is holy ground that I am walking on. He's going to bless me, and he's going to bless my family because of that. Psalm 112:1-2. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Psalm 128, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be happy. It shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. There's blessing upon blessing upon blessing for those who fear the Lord. There is no blessing for those who don't fear the Lord. When we don't walk in the fear of the Lord, he's not going to bless that. Psalm 145:19, he fulfills the desire of all who fear him. He also hears their cries and he saves them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. When we walk in that reverence, that holy awe of him, that awareness, that mindset, and use that as a filter to run every decision, everything through, he fulfills the desire. He blesses us. And if we don't have that good and healthy fear of the Lord, then we need to get a bigger picture of who God is and his holiness. Go back and do last week's lesson on God's holiness. He spoke. It was done. He's the one that holds your breath in his hand. Nobody else does. He numbers your days. Nobody else does. No diagnosis. No just little coincidence or no, I mean, nothing. It's him. He is the lover of your soul. He is your savior. He's given us eternal life. On and on and on and on. We need a bigger picture of who he is to walk in that holy fear. He is right there beside us. It's holy ground where we are walking. Psalm 86:11 says, teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Unite my heart to fear your name. And then Psalm 119:38, establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. So let's fresh and new, and let's just take a moment before we dismiss, just quiet our hearts, to let these things settle in our hearts and to devote our lives once again to him in walking in the fear of the Lord. And Father, I pray that you would use this minute that we have as we quiet down, just settle these things in our hearts, Lord. This truth, give us a greater picture of who you are in your holiness. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. We praise you. Open our eyes, Father, to see you, to see your holiness. And Father, help us to put aside, lay aside the sin and the weight that so easily ensnares us. Father, I pray that you would help each one of us tonight. This would be a new beginning in our lives to walk in the fear of the Lord. I pray, Father, that that would be a mindset and a heart set, and that we would be so aware of your presence and your great love that we would just want to please you more and more. And Lord, if we have maybe hardened our hearts or they've grown cold in certain areas and we're not heeding your voice or feeling that prick of your Holy Spirit when he is grieved, I pray that that would change tonight, Lord, that we would, that you would cleanse us and that you would give us a fresh awareness and that we would walk with a sensitivity toward you and your heart and what you've called us to, and that we would seek to please you. Father, thank you that we can. Now I pray, Lord, that you would empower each one of us. Help us to stand. Help us to fix our eyes on you and to walk boldly with you, no matter what anyone else is doing, no matter what may happen, that we would just walk courageous and be strong women for you, walking in the fear of the Lord. We look to you to do this work, Lord, and we choose the fear of the Lord. Father, I pray that you would go before us, that you would bless our fellowship time, and I pray that you would, that these things that you have spoken to our hearts, that we would take with us into conversation, iron sharpening iron. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.